Probably this is going to be my last sermon in the book of Luke. We, of course, jumped ahead to do the cross and resurrection during Good Friday. And I just wanted to back up and catch a couple of more themes. And in Luke 17, I found some very interesting insights about preparing for the kingdom of heaven, right? If that was a phone, let's make sure all of our phones are off. I hate to run through the crowd, grab them, and smash them during the service. It's just so unseemly, you know. And we told the kids that we collected their phones on Friday, and we told them if I hear one or see one, I now have permission to break it in half. So, you know, it was interesting. They went a whole 2 hours without their phone. We figured it's probably the only time when they're awake that, you know, they went without their phone, yeah. But yeah, the question is really about preparing for the kingdom of God. I put the fire up there just for fun, you know. Well, there's a lot of talk about, you know, end times and what will happen in the end times. And we just started a study on Wednesday night on the book of Revelation. And if you're really interested in what Scripture says about it, We're really going through that, but I think that it will surprise you more than, you know, you might think that a lot of what's out there, a lot of what's talked about isn't very accurate. And I find in this text today a real sense of that, a real sense of the accurate teaching of Jesus about one preparing to be in the kingdom and what will happen or how it comes about, right? So this is the beginning of the chapter, and it really doesn't mention the end times, but in context, it makes tons of sense. So Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times a day and 7 times comes back and says, I repent, forgive him. Now, believe it or not, I really believe this is the text that tells us how to be ready for the end of the age, how to be ready for Christ to come back. What is he talking about? He's talking about the scandaleon, the obstacle that's set in front of you to make you trip up. It you see the definition there. It's a bait stick. It's something, you know, the mouse traps. I can't stand those little things because you either set them too, you can't set them because they're so slightly triggered, or you bend them a little and then they're so hard the mice can eat the stuff. But they got that little metal piece and you put the peanut butter on there. And Ruth told me if you take a little string or a little nylon and put it on, tie it on there, and get that, that gets them, right? But that's the bait stick. That's the bait stick, right? The bait stick is the thing that, you know, oh, there's something there that I want. Oh, I'm going to go grab that, right? And as we see with mice, it's not a very good end when you go for the bait stick. It's not a, you know, it's messy. It's nasty. Well, it is. Yeah, I caught a mouse in a glue trap. He invaded my territory. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And I caught him and I took him out to the dumpster. And I thought about it. I said, you know, this is just like a sinner caught in sin being held, taken out to Gehenna and thrown in. You know, that's his hell, right? Well, Jesus says, woe to those who set up bait sticks. Woe to those who set up stumbling blocks for people to sin. You know, our world is filled, what did I say? Filled with temptations, with wrong teachings, with information that will lead people into sin. Just think about what the media does with movies. And we watch movies. Why? Because we're bored. Okay, so we watch movies or we read books. And they make adultery just a normal thing. Of course the guy's going to get the girl. You don't even think about the idea. Well, you know, he's leaving his wife and he's doing all this. They make adultery a normal thing. It becomes acceptable. It's a bait stick. It's out there to teach you the wrong thing, right? Homosexuality, it's a normal thing. It's something that you're supposed to put up with. You're supposed to say, oh, that's just normal. That's just a different lifestyle. No. Scripture says it's sin. That's a bait stick, right? Think about the things that people do. You know, when I was a little kid, people in my life, you know, taught me to do bad things. Friends and sometimes adult friends taught me to do bad things. And those, you know, those are the ones Jesus is talking about. He says, what are those people who put a bait stick in front of a little kid and say, oh, you know, you need to learn how to swear like this, or you need to smoke like this, or you know, those terrible things that people teach young people to do so that they become rotten like the old people, you know? Yeah. So Jesus is warning us, and he tells us, he says, watch yourselves, watch out, be careful. And I mean, seriously, in our age of information, I call it the age of misinformation, there is so much falsehood, there are so many lies being told every day, there's so much junk out there, and some of it in the name of the church or in the name of being, you know, gospel or whatever, on television and that kind of stuff. You really need to be aware. You need to be alert. What did God call you to be? What did God call you to be? What did God create you to be? God created us to be His children, to bear His image, to bear His character, to live like He lives, to be His person, to be a part of His family. I mean, the whole idea of the kingdom of heaven is entering into God's house and living with God forever. And not just everybody can do that. You know, who do you let come into your house? Do you let just anybody off the street? Oh, sure, the door's open, come on in. No. Would you let someone who's close to you, who's like you, who shares your opinions, shares your values? You know, a family member, someone who loves you and you love them dearly? Would you let that person in? Well, that's what God's looking for. He's looking for His people. Well, the thing that stops people from being God's people is sin. And I'm telling you again, this world is filled with things that teach us to sin, teach us to live wrong, to think wrong, to do what's wrong. And Jesus says, watch out. And He says, not only for yourself, but watch out for your brother and your sister. Watch out. When you see someone sinning, this is something rare in church. When you see somebody doing something wrong, don't say, oh, well, you know. Warn them. Listen, if you were in a kitchen and you saw a little toddler go in and open up a cabinet and grab a bottle of cleansing solution and start to drink that, what would you do? Would you say, oh, you know, he'll be okay, you know? You would say, stop, don't do it. You're hurting yourself. You're going to die. That's how we should feel about sin, not only in our own lives, but in our brothers and our sisters. We should really watch out for one another. Hey, you realize that attitude that you're picking up isn't from God. It's from the world. Do you know that the way you're dressing isn't of God? It's more of the world. Do you know the things that you're loving and the things you have a passion for, the things that you want, right? It's more of the world and not from God. Do you realize that? In other words, to warn each other about the character that God wants to develop in us so that when the kingdom comes, we're ready. We're ready. So there's two parts of that. One is if you see somebody messing up, how many of you messed up? Get your hands in the air. Let's go. You know. Yeah. You know. Jesse didn't raise his hand. Oh, you better get it, boy. You get it. Mom? You know? No, I meant him. Yeah. All right. But yeah, you know. So we know that sin is out there. We know trouble is out there, right? And if we love each other, we care for each other. We watch out for each other. And because we love each other, let's not do that. Let's not go there. Let's fix that. But the other part of it is, you know, he says if somebody sins against you, Happens all the time, right? All right? And they repent. What does it mean to repent? Repent doesn't mean my bad. That's not repentance. Repent, because my bad just simply says I'm looking for an excuse to just keep doing it again and again and again. No. It means I know I shouldn't have done it. I don't want to do that, and I want to change. Right? In other words, I really want to do what's right, and I know I messed up. Repent. And he says, if somebody repents, how many people repent? Not enough. Anyway, praise God. Yeah, not enough, though. I mean, most people do not come back and say they're sorry. Most people do not acknowledge what they've done is wrong, that they know it's wrong, and they don't want to do it, and apologize in that way, right? Not a lot of people repent. But if you repent, if you have that heart, in other words, I want to do better. I want to do right. What does he say? He says, and if they do it 7 times a day, but they're still trying, they still have a heart for God, they still want to get it right, keep putting up with them. Have patience with them. And really, the way to do it is forgive. And when God forgives, he don't remember. Praise God. Do you hear me? When God forgives, he doesn't remember. He doesn't hold a grudge. He doesn't say, I forgive you, but... My goodness, would you like to stand in front of the throne of God and hear that? I forgive you, but... No, I don't... No. I forgive you, and I don't even remember any of your sins. Now that's what I'm looking for. But that's what God's looking for in me, right? Forgive as you've been forgiven, that kind of thing. But the goal of all that forgiveness and grace is about growing to be kingdom people. Are we getting ready for the kingdom? So once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Now, do you see how in context that makes a lot of sense? Those two things together. They're in the same chapter, all right? They're in the same chapter. So the Pharisees are saying, when are you going to kick Rome out? When are you going to, set up the throne? In other words, that's what they were looking for, the kingdom of God now. And Jesus says it doesn't come with careful observation. Meaning, and again, I know some are great fans of people that, have you heard what happened over there? And that means the end is coming. Have you heard what's going on over there? That means the end is coming. Let me tell you something. There is always enough sign. There is always enough trouble in this world. There's always enough evidence to say, it's time. It's time. This world is ripe for judgment. It is ripe for the end of the age. It is time. And any time is the right time when God says so. We know from the book of Revelation that the time is not fixed upon what's going on in the Middle East or what's going on here or there, but it's based upon the last person to call on the name of Christ. That's what it says. If you want to learn about that, come Wednesday. All right. But it is about God's time. So Jesus says, you're running around looking for this and looking for that. That's not the idea. It doesn't come with observation. It is in you. It's in you. Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you? Do you have the power of a resurrected Lord working in your life? Are you able to call on the name of the living God and not feel ashamed when you do so? Are you able to know His power and His grace? Is the truth of His Word sinking into your heart and leading your life and leading you towards eternity? That's the kingdom of God, folks. That's the kingdom of God rising up, not in signs and wonders in the world, but in our hearts and in our lives. And when Jesus was talking about it, He was the entire kingdom of God. That's why He said it's like a mustard seed and it grows into this big thing, He was it. Now it's in those who believe in Him, those who call on His name. We are being adopted. We are being brought close to God and we are being prepared to be in the kingdom of God. Where is it? Where's the kingdom of God? It's right here. It's right now. It's happening. It's unfolding. It's coming to life. And every believer who calls on the name of Jesus Christ, everyone who confesses the resurrection, everyone who knows that the power of Satan has been destroyed and there's a king in heaven and his name is above every name. Right? That's the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus meant when he said it doesn't come by watching. And again, I know we've been taught other things, but Jesus said, it's not out there, it's here. Here's where it is. Here's where you see God working. Here's where you see the approach of the kingdom. Then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, here it is, or here it is. Or, don't go running after them. In other words, that's the thing, right? It's, you know, oh, I've got the inside track. I know, you know, they're all about the kingdom. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about this. Or you got the really crazies like David Koresh. I am God, you know, kind of thing going on, right? And Jesus said, don't go running after them. The Son of Man in his day, it'll be like lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. In other words, the cross, the resurrection, is the means to the kingdom, as we've already said. But when Jesus comes back, folks, it's not going to be like slow. It's going to be like a bolt of lightning, and the entire world is going to see it. Everybody is going to know Jesus has come. Jesus has come. We use a term called the consummation of the kingdom. And that means that the kingdom of God consumes all things, all powers, all authorities. And Jesus said, you know, don't go sneaking around looking for it. When it comes, you'll know it. You'll see it. It will be like lightning flashing. No, I saw that, right? Just as it was in the days of Noah. This is used by Jesus more than any other way of talking about the end of the world. Just as it was in the days of Noah, it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. People will be eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark, and then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot, when people were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. Two events in the book of Genesis that show us God's consuming judgments. An entire world under Noah and only eight were saved. An entire world under Noah and only eight were saved. God not counting big numbers. He's looking for children, his children. Right? And that's how you get ready. What were they doing? They were carrying on business as usual. They weren't thinking about God. As a matter of fact, in the text in Genesis, it says that all of their or every inclination of their heart was always evil all day. That's how it described that generation. They didn't think about God. They didn't want God. CNN would have had filth on it day and night. HBO would have had filth on it day. Oh, yeah. That's kind of like where we are. And everybody would have thought it was just normal. Everybody would have thought, oh, that's just the way things are. That's just the way things have been. Nothing new, right? And then thunderclouds. Sodom and Gomorrah, filth. Absolute filth. Right? I don't have to describe it. If you want to read it, you can look in Genesis 18. Filthy, filthy people. Filthy hearts, filthy minds, filthy habits. All there, right? None of them had any regard for God. None of them thought about God. None of them, you know, prayed to God or sought God, except for one little family. And even one of them didn't make it. We see that. He says, you know, remember. We'll look at that in a second. Don't want to jump ahead. But the idea of the sudden coming of the Lord. See, that's why it's so important, folks, for us to be preparing ourselves today. Are we living in front of God? Are we asking God, make me your child? Help me to get rid of passions that don't belong to you. Help me to get rid of loves and desires and wants that are created by the advertising industry. Help me, Almighty God, to be pure in mind, pure in heart. Help me to forgive as you forgive, and on and on and on, the character of God. Help me to be what Jesus would be, what Jesus died for me to be, right? Help me, mighty God. And that is how, on that day, when the storm comes, when the day comes, when the lightning strikes, you're ready. You're either ready or you're not, right? It's quick and nobody knows. See, on that day, one who is on the rooftop and his goods, you should go down and shouldn't go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. What's he saying? One of the things about the book of Revelation is very clear in the end. If you love this world too much, it will destroy you in relation to the kingdom of God. And that's exactly, he's saying, if you're on the rooftop, don't run in and try to get your stuff, right? And he says, remember Lot's wife. She loved the world. She loved those cities. You know, she'd been there for a while, and on her way out, she looked back to say, I'm going to miss, and that was about her last thought, right? Don't love the world or the things of the world. Be very careful. Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, one will be left. And he says, you know, this kind of interesting, where, Lord, they asked. And he replied, where there is a dead body, the vultures will gather. And I think we tend to try to think of those being taken or disposed of as the good ones, right? I mean, they're taken. I think in context of that, he's saying, where would you see vultures in their day? Out in the garbage dump, out in the pits. Where would you put the dead things? In the valley of Gehenna. Where would you see vultures flying over all the time? Just like in our landfills, you know, birds of prey, over Gehenna. He's just simply saying, folks, you know, there's going to be a separation on that day. It's going to be swift. It's going to be final. And, you know, some of us get to live with God. Some of us go to the dump. I want to go with God, yeah? I want to be ready for God. I do. I mean, I want us to be ready for God. I want us to be thinking about our hearts, our lives, our minds, how we live our lives. That's how you prepare for the end. That's how you're ready for the kingdom of God to come. It's not about what's going on out there. It's about what's happening in here. What's happening in my heart? What's happening in my life? What's happening in my mind? What's happening in there to help me, you know, be closer to God, ready for that lightning strike to come. Where, you know, for some it's going to be joy and celebration, and for some it's going to be, oh no, God really is real, right? Let it not be us. Let us, you know, we worship Him, we call on Him, we pray to Him, we listen to Him, we want to follow Him, and as gracious as He's asked us to be, He is more gracious to us. We can make it, we can be there, but we need to be awake and be ready. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right.